This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Edition of the High Hopes Podcast. The Corey Knebel Emergency Podcast is here, Fritzy. We did it.
Yeah, it's about time. You know, finally the move that we have been waiting for this offseason is
the
here.
Only one we wanted. I mean, we're good and set. Great offseason. We're good.
He was on both of our perfectest offseasons.
He was, actually. He's one of the few people who made both lists. So we are excited.
We've said this before, and I think it's one of those times that we got to say it again. I mean, no podcast has their finger on the pulse of this team more than us. And that's just another example. You know, it's good to see that Dave listens and he's like, wow, Corey Knebel is nasty. Wow, he does have an absolute hammer curveball. Wow, he does start 97 and is clearly back. Gets hurt a lot. But he is disgusting when he pitches.
I was going to originally lead with how many weeks until Knebel gets hurt, but I figure I'd go positive.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, there's plenty of negatives and... You know,
and his name is Steve Cohen. Is that the negative? Is that the one?
Well, that and you know how bullpen acquisitions usually go for us. Now, I mean, they did do.
I actually am fine with it because they signed David Robertson, who'd literally never been hurt in his career, and he promptly immediately tears his has to have Tommy John surgery. So
vintage.
You know what? Go the other way. Screw it. Take a shot.
Yeah, get the super injured guy.
Why not?
Take a shot.
He's nasty.
And also, they did one of your favorite things, which is they signed him to a one-year deal, which you have said a thousand times. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal.
No such thing. It is a fine deal. I'm very happy with it. Did I wish that we had more deals to talk about before there's a freaking lockout tonight, Jack? Yeah, I wish there were more. I'll be honest. I was hoping it was a Schwarber pod or Castellanos pod or a... You know, Trevor Story pod. It's a Corey Knebel pod. You know?
I know. And it's like, I mean, for
us. There's a lockout tonight, Jack.
And for our.
At the end of tonight, you and I are going to be doing pods for like months now or a month plus, whatever, just being like, well, no news because you know what? They can't do anything. So that's fun. It's really fun.
It's great. And the best part about it, James, is that it's great for the sport, too. It is. It's one of those.
It's just a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just a good thing. All around.
No downside to it. It's gonna be clean.
I mean, yeah. Yes. And after a pandemic, you know, where so many people lost their jobs and there's all kinds of issues in this country that we're dealing with, people want to watch billionaires and millionaires fight over money. I mean, it sounds like the thing that everyone would want, right?
Well,
I mean, it sounds like the perfect thing for right now in this world.
Well, and at least they're doing something really important, like playing baseball. You know, like at least it's one of those things that's like, it's really, really important. So, You know, I love to hear it.
The whole pod just going back and forth. But at least, you know, yeah. I think we could. I think there's enough there.
I know. I wonder how fast people would turn it off, but I don't know. I think I could go a whole show with it. But listen, I'm just glad they did something. I'm glad they gave us a little bit of something. And, you know, I do hold out hope that, you know, maybe we can get a little Schwarbo signing tonight. Because honestly, I've watched his home run.
Do you really?
What?
Do you really, though? Hold out hope.
No, not really. But I mean, like, I honestly don't. Like, I don't have hope for anything anymore.
No.
Right.
Nothing else is happening tonight. Like, it's done. Like, yeah, I mean, maybe a trade could happen, but I think that's unlikely. But I think we're past the point of, like, physicals and the whole thing happening.
Like, it looks like Stroman's going to be a Cub. That just came out.
Oh, great. That makes me happy. Another guy that we don't get. So,
well,
not that I'm dying for Stroman, but, like, I'd take Marcus Stroman over, you know, Air.
Well, I also don't really need him. I mean, if we're being like,
I know. I'm much more upset that Max Scherzer is a Met. I'm much more upset that the all of a sudden the Texas Rangers are like, let's go spend $560 million. That the Marlins are paying for guys. That you know, the every team in baseball, except for eight, have spent money. And now the Phillies finally spent a little money. But, you know, like the Royals and the... You know, they're on these lists with these teams of, like, the loser teams that don't spend money, Jack.
No, but they're also on the same list as the Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox.
Here's the thing. I thought you nailed it with a tweet you had, which is, you know, rare.
Fair.
But I really thought you nailed it, which, and I'm paraphrasing, but the idea of it was you know, it's not, you're not upset that they haven't necessarily signed guys. Like, look. A lot of the guys we want are still out there. Like, my top guy, Nick Cassiano's still out there. Schwarber, your guy, still out there. Story on your list, still out there. Like, there, a lot of the guys we want are still out there. It's not about that. It's about, like you watch Steve Cohen. And, look, I don't think Steve Cohen's all of a sudden a good owner or whatever, but I do appreciate these going out and just throwing cash around. But at least, like, the Mets went in and said, all right, these are the guys we want. We're going to go get them, right? Like, they're like, we have a plan. We want to get Max Scherzer. We're going to get Starling Marte for a center fielder. We're going to add some guys who can play around the diamond. We're going to make some moves here. And, like, and they went out and executed. And they said, you know what? I don't care about money. I don't care about whatever. Like, we're going to go out and we're going to get the guys we want. And it feels like the Phillies went, you don't want to see what happens to the CBA. I want to make sure we don't go over. Maybe we get a little more room to play with because we're not going over the luxury tax. God forbid we go over the luxury tax. Like, oh, my God, that $3 million it'll cost me to go over the luxury tax. How am I going to survive if I'm John Middleton? Like, it just feels weak. And I think they can still end up having a good offseason. I think they can still end up signing a lot of guys we like. And I'm not, like, panicking, but it feels weak from a franchise that is – you know, spent money in quotes, but has refused to commit the way they need to the roster that they have. I don't know. I'm frustrated. And I think you and I are on the light end of frustration. I think there are a lot of Phillies fans out there that are angry right now, Jack.
Yeah. And I'm not angry because I, like, if this is the move, and I don't think it will be, but if this is the move, that the only move they make and come spring training, like, yeah, like, I'll be there. Believe me, we will absolutely be there. Like, we do a pretty good job of holding this team accountable, I think. And I guess my main point is not that they haven't made any moves, and this is before they signed Corey Knebel and all that stuff. And believe me, I'm actually can't wait. Like, I love Knebel. I'm really excited
about him individually. He was born both. That's all we need to say. Like, we had two perfect off seasons. He's one of the few guys who made both. I mean, granted, there are like 8,000 perfect off seasons out there now, but you know, whatever. But he was on our. We are excited about this. But I'm with you. It's still just it feels uninspiring compared to everything else. Especially with the, like yesterday was like Jack for the first. Maybe they should just have a lockout every year or something. I don't know what the plan is, but like for the first time in our lifetime. Major League Baseball free agency was like the NFL, like the NBA. It was like, we got a day and everyone's signing and this is so exciting. And oh my God, Baez just signed for $140 million, Seager $325 million and Semien $125 million. It's like all this awesome, fun stuff. And it's like, nothing.
I know. And believe me, I feel that way to an extent. Cause honestly, like I love the offseason. I love when the Phillies are involved and it's just not fun being on the outside looking in. Like, it's like the classic SpongeBob meme, you know, like the Phillies and then watching everyone else having fun.
Yes.
And that's basically what this whole offseason has been so far. And it's just not fun. It's not fun being on the outside looking in. And for me, it just frustrates me that, again, you know, it feels like they're trying to get good deals rather than targeting a guy and going and getting him. And like Brad Lidge, they traded for at the GM meetings, which are in early November back in 2007, because they went into the offseason and said, we need a closer. That's our guy. I'm going to go get him. You know, and I expected a guy like Dave Dombrowski, who is seasoned, who is doing a good job, I believe, but as a guy that knows how to build winning rosters, to have come into this offseason and said, I'm going to go get a guy that I believe in. I think, and you shouldn't have to be trying to get a good deal on a guy. You should be, I don't want to end up with second fiddle because it's a better deal than spending a little bit more money or giving up a better prospect to go get a better player. I want them to be aggressive and going to target their guys and bring that guy in. Like the Mets just did it with Scherzer, who, you know, we've been told for months that he's a West Coast guy who'd never come East Coast, and they said, I don't care. We're gonna give him $43 million
a year.
Right. And they brought Max Scherzer to pair with Jacob deGrom, and it's basically like Schilling and Randy Johnson from 2001.
I can't say it's better because those guys won the World Series and were co-MVPs, but like it could be better. It's just as good. It's right there. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying it's that's that level of a 1-2 punch.
I know.
So it's ridiculous, and because they went out there, and I think Steve Cohen, honestly, have you watched Billions or have you not?
I saw the first two seasons, so I get the idea.
I mean, apparently Steve Cohen was based off of that guy, or Bobby Axelrod.
Bobby Axelrod was based on Steve Cohen.
Right, exactly. And that was the first time with the Scherzer signing that was like, oh wow. So he really was upset about the Mats thing and no one letting him interview any of their GM candidates. Like, he's just going to take it out on the rest of the baseball world. So it was the first time I really saw the Axelrod, I guess, in Steve Cohen. Teams are like the Tigers went this offseason. We're getting a shortstop. They signed Javi Baez. The Rangers, we're going to spend a ton of money. We're going to go get Simeon and Seager. The Phillies aren't in position. They went into the 2019 offseason and said, we're going to sign one of the guys, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. It took forever, but they eventually got it done. I just don't know. When Dave Dombrowski came out and said, I want a center fielder, I want a left fielder, I want a closer, I was excited because I was like, all right, here's an experienced president of baseball operations who has built winning rosters before, who knows what it takes to win, all that stuff. He was self-scouted this system, saying this is what we need, and I expected him to be more aggressive in having targets that he wants to go get. And for me, it just feels like they're trying to get a good deal, and this is what happened last year with Didi. I mean, they tried to get the best shortstop deal possible and ended up giving Didi 2 years because they just didn't I don't think Andrelton Simmons is any good, but he was their main target. Just go get it done, and then you don't have to deal with another year of Didi for $14 million. So, you know, it's mildly frustrating. Again, the offseason isn't over. Again, some big market teams, Red Sox, Giants, Dodgers, Yankees, have not spent either. So it's not like everyone's spending money and the Phillies are out of it. But I just wish that there was more of a, that's our target, we're going to go get it done. And I know that Corey Knebel was their target and they got it done, but I need a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you nailed it perfectly. I think that's exactly how I feel. And look, while it is also we're with the Yankees, Red Sox, whatever, you know, those teams haven't spent money either. Dodgers, that's cool. It also means that they're still there to spend money, right? Like, it means that half the pool is gone of guys we want. The other half is still there, and you get to compete with the big boys to go get them. Like Kyle Schwarber, the Red Sox are going to go for him too. That's a thing, you know, There are going to be Trevor Story. I'm sure the Yankees might be in on Trevor Story, that kind of stuff. So, you know, while it is there are smart, good teams not doing it as well, there are also smart, good teams waiting to pounce on the guys you might want to pounce on. And that's why, again, it's so frustrating. I look, for me, it comes back to Middleton. It comes back to this idea of an organization that is always trying to get a deal. Just put your what on the table and man up, dude. Go out and spend. The fact that it is so clear to anyone who watches the team, anyone who covers this team, whatever, that the only chance they have this year, right now, to win the World Series is to spend. It's to go over the luxury tax, to spend, to add to this roster, to help Bryce Harper, to help JT, to help all these guys. That's it. That is the only path forward if you're talking about winning the World Series this year. Unless, fluky stuff happens. But you know what I mean. The only chance to have a real, true World Series competitor team is to go over the luxury tax. And this guy's not going to do it. Like, he's just not going to do it. He's never going to do it, Jack. I don't think he's ever going to do it. I honestly am there. I think John Middleton will never go over the luxury tax. I think that he is willing to spend up to a point, and that point is the freaking tax, and that's it. And that's where we're at. And we have to just wait, like, for them to rebuild. Like, that's how I feel right now. That's how frustrated I am, because I'm just tired of John Middleton not, like, where is the guy who said, I'm going to bring the trophy back to Philly or die trying? Like, that, I just feel like everything this guy says is all lip service. It's all words. I don't believe a word John Middleton says anymore, and I won't until he proves me wrong, which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, it does feel like hollow words. I mean, it does at this point. It's hard not to argue that it feels hollowish. And you know, last year in the Mets trade for Lindor, it did feel like it did spark a little bit of that competitiveness in him to go. I think he re-signed JT after the Lindor thing and whatever. Like, it did spark them to finally do something. And you know, maybe they do that this year, because honestly, the NL East is an arms race at this point, and the Braves won the World Series. I don't know what they're doing with Freddie Freeman. Like, they sure seem like they have like a hard line stance for Freddie Freeman, which is insane. I think he's gonna be a Dodger. I really do. Like, I don't know if he's gonna be back with Atlanta. Obviously, that would change a lot of the fortunes of the NL East. But you know, it's an arms race, and it would be disappointing to see this team sit out. But you know, even if not, they're still 40. Like, they have room to spend money if they want to. But honestly, you know, I've long sat here and said, no, he'll go over it when the time comes. I'm back to see it to believe it, and he'll spend to a point, and you know, he's proven the last couple of years that he won't go over it, and it's just, it's more disappointing than anything. Like, I don't really get mad about it anymore. Like, I now have to find a way to build a team with that restraint, like with the self-imposed the cap that they're putting on the roster. And believe me, like, I'm not one of those people that thinks they need to blow by it and, oh, you got to sign Story and Bryant and go way over and all this stuff. But my thing is that you got to, like, you need to put a competitive team on the field to maintain your standing in the city, I guess. But also, like, the team, it's the only way that they're going to be competitive. And I don't want you to have to, like, you don't have to keep being over the luxury tax, but like,
yeah, you go over it for a couple years and then go back under.
Right.
Like, that's cool, man. It's not punitive if you do that. It would literally cost him like $10 million out of his pocket if he did this for like 2-3 years. Like, what are we talking about? This guy's worth $4 billion.
Like, while they are building up the rest of the team, and listen, because they do, like, you can't sustain winning by trades, free agency, all that. So they have to build the farm system, have to do that. And I think they're on the right track. It just takes years. But in the meantime, while you're getting the young talent, while you're figuring that stuff out, like, you gotta put it down and put your foot down and say, no, we're going to go for it. Like, the Mets are at $268 million right now. Like, they're way over it. And it's just millions. I know that sounds insane.
But to a billionaire, it's not like, you're right, Jack. To a billionaire, it's like what $100 is does.
It's just a cool mill. So like,
it's less. Honestly, it's less than $100 it does to a billionaire.
Right. So it's disappointing. I guess I'm more just apathetic at this point. You know,
I can hear it. It's a little disappointing. I'm sad that you have stopped believing in John Middleton, but I'm also happy. Welcome aboard, like you should.
My thing is that I'm glad that, you know, I think he wants to win like how the Rays win, and I think he wants to win like a small market team in a big market city. I think honestly, that's his goal in life is that. Now I am
so weak.
I know, but it just like what I have to deal with now. Like, I don't have the energy to keep melting down about the luxury tax. Like, I just don't care anymore. I honestly don't care anymore. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, and I got to find a way to build a team to stay under it. And I understand that sounds like I'm just giving up, and yeah, sure.
It does. It really does.
No, I know. And I'm one that stands up and fights for the good fight. I can't do it anymore. It's not going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know what the point in yelling about it anymore is.
This is sad.
I know.
John Middleton, I mean, like, play this for John Middleton. I mean, if nothing else has gotten through to him, this should be like that Todd Zielecki Twitter poll.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
I mean, he
should have that kind of impact. I mean, seriously. You are, I mean, there is no one who jumps in with 2 feet more than Jack Fritz. Like, this is devastating stuff here. Like, my daughter is on the first floor. I can hear her pattering around and something. I'm nervous that she's hearing this, and it's going to, like, kill her hopes and dreams.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Model of hopes and dreams.
I have a lot of hopes and dreams. A luxury tax just doesn't happen to be one of them. Like, I don't know.
I mean, look, in reality, like, you should be able to win without going over the luxury tax. Like, right. Example number one, the Tampa Bay Rays. Example number two, the Cleveland Indians for many years. Like, there are a lot of example, Oakland A's for many years. Like you can do it. The problem is, because of mismanagement and poorly spent money for the last, you know, whatever it is, decade, really, but really the last 5 years, the Klentak reign, like, they've put themselves in a position where you either have to pick, like, if you really want to compete right now, then you got to suck it up and you got to freaking tag.
I know. It comes down to...
Or you just be... Honestly, like, go the other way then. Like, trade everyone. Like, rebuild if you're going to do that, and then just have a system like Tampa, like those teams where you can just bring guys in and flip and do what they do and stay under the tax and compete for many years. But, like, this is just a joke right now what they're doing.
Now, there's, you know, one thing he can do at this point, and that's simply go over. You know, the bar has been set. The bar has been set. Listen, Steve Cohen's here. Steve Cohen's here. The Braves won a World Series. The Nationals won one a couple years ago. The Marlins are whatever. I mean, they're still the Marlins. But, yeah, they did get my guy, Joey Wendell, so that was good to see.
Yeah, so outspending the Phillies right now this offseason.
We'll see if that holds up. But
Kim Ng bringing it.
I know. And my guy, Derek Jeter, doing a great job. Anyway.
Your favorite of all time.
Yeah. Someone brought up, like, oh, well, maybe the Marlins, because Correa, I don't know where he's going to go. And it's like, well, the Marlins have money. It's like, yeah, well, Correa also just said that Derek Jeter doesn't deserve any gold glove, which is a good take.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, it's a good take.
Not wrong. Not wrong.
But yeah, so, you know, it's more apathy at this point, you know, and the NL East is a battle at this point. I know last year was disappointing because, you know, none of the teams really lived up to the billing heading into the year as most competitive division in baseball, and then the Braves ended up winning the whole thing. So maybe we were right, but there's no time to just sit back and let the division run you by, because, again, you know, I think Harper is going to keep holding him accountable. Like, listen, this podcast can only do so much. But Bryce having an MVP season, you know, might be the best thing for the luxury tax talk. You know, like Bryce having a MVP, you know, everyone's fired up about it. And now it kind of validates the signing, not that he hadn't before. But, you know, I feel like that pressure is going to be on John to put a winner around him. And that's on Dombrowski, and that's on Middleton to say, hey, go spend what you need to do. And, you know, I do think that he trusts Dave with his money. I think he lost trust with Klentak and McPhail, and rightfully so. They pretty much burned like $500 million. So, yeah, it's
minus the best contract in the sport, or other than the, like, Braves somehow just
stupid,
like,
contracts.
I don't know if the Braves have some sort of thing where they, like, dig up dirt on players and then get them to sign these contracts, because, like, the Acuna and Albies contract are the two best contracts in the sport. But the Zach Wheeler contract, like, it is pretty unbelievable that Matt Klentak was responsible for that, because he had about as horrendous a 10 years you could possibly have in a 5-year run in terms of setting a franchise back. But that Zach Wheeler contract looks like a top 5 contract in the sport right now.
Dude, he's right about him, and he's right about Harper. I mean, like we always said, Matt Klentak doesn't get enough credit. Doesn't get enough credit around here.
Oh, man. Look, it's frustrating because I think that's where we're at. I think it's frustrating that, you know, we know what this team needs, and I hope you're right that the combination of Bryce Harper and Dave Dombrowski will get this guy to just suck it up and give it. And I do think the Harper thing matters. I do think the fact that, you know, the cacophony of voices being like, don't waste another Harper MVP season. How could you do this to Bryce? You promised him all. Like, I hope that grows and is loud and all that. Again, I don't see it. I don't see it with this guy. Like, I think John Middleton's like a fraud. So I think he is. I don't know what else to say. I think he's a fraud. I think he's like a weak sauce owner. And I don't feel super confident that he's going to, you know, do what needs to be done. So, you know, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, John.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Look up in New York and Bobby Axelrod making you look like a loser. Like, he is literally saying, ha ha. You know what I got? Lots of money. way more than you. And I'm going to spend it and I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. Ha ha ha. Like, man up. He is taking on your pride right now. He is taking a shot right at your pride, John Mills. Like, man up. Toughen up. Fight back. Don't let Steve Cohen make you look like a loser. Because guess what? Steve Cohen's making you look like a loser.
Well, he didn't sign Javi Baez. So, listen, we'll see.
That was a smart move, we're saying. Yeah, that was a good job by them. Not saying. Javi Baez, 6 years, 140? Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. I'd rather have Semien at 7-125. And that's a lot of years.
It is for a 31-year-old. Second baseman.
Yeah, Javi, I feel like Javi is, he's okay. He's obviously very talented, but he does not feel like, I was going to say a winning player when he was obviously a massive part of the Cubs winning the World Series. So it's hard
It's a lot of strikeouts. I mean,
strikeouts.
I would not have given, that contract would be insane. Like, if I was a Tigers fan and going from thinking I'm getting Correa to getting Baez, I'd be pretty disappointed.
I would be too. I'm massively. I mean, if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a player I've heard of. That's pretty exciting. I'm sure Tigers fans are like we were when we got Jim Thome. It's like, what? Someone we've heard of signed here? This is so exciting. They wanted us?
Well, people forget the guy that built the 2014 Tigers. He did bring in Miguel Cabrera, so I'm sure they'd heard of him. And he did bring in, Max Scherzer, who was not really a big name at that point. What else did that guy who built the 2014 Tigers bring in? Prince Fielder. It's another big name that they brought in. So, maybe we should let that guy spend some money.
Yeah, just let him spend money. Like, why do you, that's the thing I don't understand. It's like, you do this to, lure Dave Dombrowski. You spend all this money on Dave, which I totally support. But then you hamstring him. Like, you bring Dave Dombrowski in for a reason. Let him run your organization. Let him do what he thinks is right. Let him go out and spend money. It just feels like they're hamstringing him. I mean, look, and who knows? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe after the lockout. God, I can't. I'm so annoyed there's a lockout, Jack. There's no baseball news. Like, no hot stove. We have no hot stove for the next, month or whatever it ends up being. None. It sucks.
We might be breaking down. We might be breaking down those bad games one by one.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we're going to need that because I'm guessing we're not going to have too many deep discussions on labor strife. Right?
Oh, I couldn't have less interest in talking about the labor. Like, I genuinely don't care. Like, honestly, just wake me up when you sign the contract. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear anyone's opinion on it. Like, I don't care. I don't, there's nothing I could find less interesting than people talking about the freaking CBA. And honestly, these guys just need to come together and figure out that the sport cannot sustain a strike. Like, no, like, you've already lost enough interest in you. Like, just shut the hell up and come together and just come to an agreement. Like, this is so stupid. And the fact that they got to walk in to this stupid CBA thing with their stupid pride and they got to stand up for what they believe in, you're going to have to compromise if you want to get anything done. So just shut up and get it done. Like, no one cares. Like, no one cares what the owners think, the players, whatever. Just come to an agreement. You have to swallow your pride on some things. You're not going to get everything you want. It's not how this works. It's called a negotiation. It's called jobs. It's called living. Like, oh my God. And it's just every day it's like melting down about what the, like, I don't, like, the average side's trying to win all the time. Just shut up. And like, just think about the sport for once. Like, they just never think. Yeah. They never think about the freaking sport.
You know, look, they're logging out tonight. It's embarrassing.
What else has to happen for Rob Manfred to still keep a job?
Dude, the worst commissioner in my lifetime. I'm not talking baseball. I'm talking all sports. Like, and that is saying something because somehow Gary Bettman has been commissioner of a league for 25 or 30, for whatever, 40 years, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. Lifetime job. Like, a guy who's had two work stoppages in his time. But Rob Manfred is worse, at least in the short period we've seen him. I mean, you can think about the last 2 years Rob Manfred has had from the, obviously the disastrous job they did during the pandemic with that whole thing, the Astros cheating scandal, like, could not have been handled worse. I mean, it's one thing, the Justin Turner World Series thing. Like, there's so many examples of this guy just having zero handle, like zero handle on how to run a sport. And now it's a stoppage. Like, it's an actual lockout on his tenure. I think Rob Manfred is as bad a commissioner as I've ever seen in my life. And then you add in the fact that, you know, I'm ripping John Middleton, and rightfully so, but he's one of many. MLB owners are the worst. Like, other than maybe NFL owners, MLB owners, the worst group of 30 guys you will find on the planet. Like, the worst group you will find. Like, just the most, you know, all they care about is themselves and their money, and not about their sport, not about their fans, not about their players. Look, I agree the players need to compromise. The players shouldn't get everything they want and all that. But, like, oh, my God. These owners are the worst, just top to bottom, the worst. I mean, they don't. I honestly believe the vast majority of them don't care about their sport. I truly believe, like Bob Nutting in Pittsburgh, you think that guy cares about his sport? Nope. Oakland A's guy, you think he cares about his sport? Nope. Like, these guys don't care about their sport. They don't care about their team. They don't care about their fans. They don't care about their players. They certainly don't care about their minor league players. That's abundantly clear. Like, I just think, you know, I'm not surprised there's going to be a lockout, and I don't have a ton of hope for it to be settled quickly. I think we will have a season. I think they'll get it done before then, but it's just horrible for the sport, a sport that already has so many issues with presenting the best version of itself. I mean, we've talked about that a million times, but like, there is a, we love baseball more than I would say 99.9% of people. There's probably a small percentage of people who love it as much as us. And those people are listening to this podcast right now. Like, there's a small percentage of people who love baseball as much as us. And we love it as it is. We love the game. We're our whole thing is like, if you don't like baseball, go away. I don't care. Like, enough with the baseball dying, all that. But like, we both agree. All of us agree. There is a better version of baseball that can be played. Like, there are real issues with the game that need to be figured out that are important in terms of pace of play, in terms of the strikeout issue. Like, there are so many things that we could talk about. And it's like, it's all secondary to money. It's all secondary to the owners getting what they want. And, you know, it's incredibly frustrating. It feels like we love the game so much more than the people who are in charge of it.
Yeah, it seems like a problem. Seems like a problem. at least seems like everyone's getting along in these labor negotiations. So, I don't know. I kind of just put my blinders on and hope that one day we'll have baseball again.
I'll update you on everything. I'll follow it all. I'll update you.
I'll update it too. I'll be fine. It's just like, I hate it. I just hate it so much.
I don't blame you. It's the worst. All right. 30 plus minutes into this podcast, remiss. Honestly, it's because it hurts too much to really talk about. But you couldn't go 2 for 18 for Hector? Really? Like, what are we doing here? 2 for 17? That's what we let Hector go on? Really? Really?
Yeah, it seems like they were going to give out, there seems like they were going to give out a 1-year deal to either him or Knebel. And Knebel took their 1-year deal, and Hector got a multi-year deal elsewhere.
I love the Knebel signing. I'm very excited about it. And I think his high end is clearly better than Hector. But I'd rather have Hector for 2 years, 17, than Knebel for 1, I think.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is that I think Hector will be a better return on investment just because he'll take the ball every time you need him to take the ball. Like, outside the closer role, Hector is a reliable pitcher that never is going to, I don't think he's ever even been on the IL. Now, the Astros might have to send him down to AAA for a little bit, you know, just when he has one of those midseason collapses, but you know, once he comes back from AAA, he's nasty again. So, I am upset Hector's gone. We were the Hector protectors, and rightfully so, because he was a good pitcher here. And, but at the same time, like, on paper, if I am replacing Hector Neris with Corey Knebel, I am fired up. You know what I mean? So, like, the Hector, I don't think Knebel's the closer. I know they kind of paid him closer money. I mean, $10 million a year.
When we was in our perfect offseason, neither of us had them signing him to be the closer.
No, I don't think Dave does. Like, I think Dave wants a legitimate lockdown closer in a sense. Whether that's Hader, even though again that's another 1-year deal, which I don't want to give up the prospect package to.
I can't. Like, what I mean, Hader costs like, I mean, a serious package to get Josh Hader. Like, if you're getting Josh, rather, like, it probably, let's put it this way, it would cost more to get Brian Reynolds, but I don't think it costs that much more to get Brian Reynolds. And that's crazy. Like, I'd rather just pay extra and get a guy who's under control for 4 years that can play every day for me than a closer. I think Josh Hader's price tag is that expensive.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best in the sport. And
and that's crazy. I'm not doing that. And don't do that.
Well, and then you're going to have to re-sign him, which he's probably going to want.
And again, we're back in the situation of like pick one. Like, go all in on this team, add or whatever. But, like, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to do what we expect you to do, which is add some pieces, you know, the you know, sign a guy we really like, make a trade for someone, add some pieces, stay under the luxury tax, not fully commit, but, like, supplement the roster, then you can't be trading away the prospects we have. Like, I'm not giving Mick Abel to the Brewers for Josh Hader. I'm not giving Andrew Painter to the Brewers for Josh Hader. Like, I'm not giving those guys, like, the only guys we have. Like, I'm sorry, I can't trade. Like, if you're not going to all in commit, like, we are winning the World Series in the next 3 years, which, again, like, I'm not saying I would do that, but, like, at least I can get behind, like, all right, all in, let's go. Like, those prospects are untouchable. I mean, like, untradeable, unless I'm getting someone who's going to be here for 4, 5, 6 years back.
Yeah, it really feels like, and I'm with you, I'm not trading any of those guys for Hader. I'm not trading that much for Kimbrel either. I mean, I know
I want to trade nothing for Kimbrel. Like, if I can get Kimbrel for I don't know, Jack, who's the Phillies' 24th rated number prospect? If I can get Kimbrel for that guy, I'll do it.
Well, cuz you're taking back the $14 million. I've kind of just,
and I don't think Kimbrel's that great anymore. Like, I think, I know he was really good last year, but I don't think he's, like, he is on the end. Like, Craig Kimbrel's what, 34, somewhere in there, 33? Like, he's an old dude. Like, I don't expect him to continue to be great. He's already fallen apart multiple times in the last few years at times when, funny enough, when he's in a race, like, I don't know, like, he fell apart with the White Sox after getting traded there. He literally couldn't close the World Series for the Red Sox. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel great about Kimbrel considering the money and actually giving up a piece for it.
Yeah, I guess I've just, just accepted that he's going to be a Philly. So, I don't know. Like, I just don't really.
They've got you really beaten down.
They
really, like, you know, I'm worried about you, buddy.
Well, I just, you know what it is that I need,
you're in a bad relationship and you're just like, you know what, though? I think he's going to change.
Oh, that's.
Really, I think she's going to change. You know, whatever it is. Like, that's what it feels like.
Well, that's me to a T. I mean, every year. Every year, it's like, no, they're going to change. Trust me. No, they're going to change. They're going to change. You'll go over the tax. They'll make a cool trade. They'll be great at analytics. They'll have great prospect development. Everyone they come up is going to – every guy they bring up is going to be great. Listen, that's what I do. It's just what I do. I love them, and I will never leave them. And I'm sticking with them through mostly tough times, which is a lot. And this is where I'm at. So I've just resigned to the fact that Kimbrel's going to be a fill. You know, whatever. Honestly, this is kind of there's one trade out there that, like, almost solves all of their issues, and it's the Laureano and Trevino trade. Like, it's a closer that's still kind of ascending, and it's a center fielder who is going to be suspended for like 28 games, because of the PED thing, but plays elite defense and can hit and pop a few homers. Like, it's like. The A's fire sale is actually coming available at the right time for the Phils, because they have so many things that can fix a lot of their problems. And, you know, I think center field's going to have to come from a trade, and they need a closer. I have no interest in Kimbrel. I have no interest in Hader. Go get Lou Trevino. Like, it's the perfect ailment to the Phillies. They both don't cost anything at this point, just prospects, which I know they don't totally want to give up. But I do trust that Dombrowski at this point, given the ability that he did to, you know, self-scout the front office people and get them out of there, and keep the people that we are good with, you know, like, he was able to self-scout those guys. I would assume he's doing the same thing with the minor league guys, so I think he knows who he believes in and who he doesn't believe in. You know, it feels like the right time for that kind of trade, and given the other options out there, it's the best option for them at the moment.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. It's just, you know, I just think they're backing themselves into a bit of a corner. And you know, by staying back, by not making moves to start, you've kind of left yourself with a lot of needs and potentially less people, not potentially, definitely less options to fill it with.
Well, maybe baseball's never coming back and we don't have to worry about this.
That's Jack, it's a great point.
Thank you.
Certainly, but it's not a it's an upsetting point.
Maybe that's why maybe that's why they're not going over the tax, because they know the sport is never coming back.
It's like, you know what? This is never. No one's ever going to play it. I'm not going to sign contracts and owe people money. That's a good call right there.
Exactly.
They might have to play, though, to get that money. I'm not sure that works.
That's usually how those contracts work, but they are guaranteed.
Guaranteed. What does that mean to you, right? I mean, come on.
Right? No, it's exactly right. They're still paying Kingery.
I almost just cursed. I just want everyone to know I was really close to saying the F word.
Wow.
With a bleeping Max Scherzer's mat. Like, it just, I just was feeling it, and I was like, bleeping Max Scherzer's mat, and that's what was hitting me in that moment, and I stopped myself.
Dad. Right. Well,
for you, for the people listening with their kids,
right.
Mostly for you, I have no problem cursing. I'm happy to curse, but I stopped it, buddy.
Well,
but that's how I feel. Like, Max Scherzer as a Met is curse worthy to me.
Well,
like, if we were to break our rule, we don't curse on the house, but I guess, like, I feel like it would be worth it. Like, I almost want to curse just here to actually, I want it to be bleep, but I know that you have to, like, take the time to do that since you're right in the podcast tonight, and I don't want to do that to you. Mm-hmm. But, like, I want to just say, like, bleeping Max Scherzer's mat, but actually say it, but I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah, I think everyone out there knows what you're trying to say.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think everyone now is on the same page. Oh wow, James is trying to say bleeping Max Scherzer is a mat. So I think everyone's
he
on
is,
the same page.
Man, how annoying is this? Like, I know he's coming off a missing most of the year thing, and I'm like, assuming Jacob DeGrom is healthy to start the next year, like, DeGrom Scherzer. Really? Like, that's upsetting, Jack. That's upsetting. It upsets me. I'm actually upset about this. I mean, they're the Mets. Like, I need to see the Mets win games where I actually believe they're going to be good. Like, 4 years for Marte is too many. Like, all that stuff. But, man, DeGrom Scherzer, buddy.
I don't know what you're so worried about. They have the best opener, we agree. Jacob DeGrom is the best opener in baseball.
That's true.
And
I don't know. Corey Knebel was a pretty damn good opener.
He is.
Just saying.
No, he is. And with Scherzer, like,
games in the playoffs. How many playoff games has Jacob DeGrom opened? Answer that for me, Jack. Because Corey Knebel, he's opened a couple. Just saying.
DeGrom did pitch in 15, though, right?
Did he open a playoff game, Jack, or did he start one? I don't think so. I think he started one back then. All right, buddy.
It's a good distinction.
Thank you.
But. The thing is that
I'm done. I got nothing else. You can go to the take bag after you're done.
DeGrom's a fine opener. And Scherzer is, his stuff was declining last year, you know?
I like this take. What a take.
He's 37. Oh,
yeah, you're right.
You expect me to believe that he's going to stay, you know, this version of Max Scherzer as a Met?
Can you imagine if like, and look, if there was any team on the planet that this would happen to, it is the Mets. But I don't know. I'm not like a prayer type of guy or whatever, but I'm going to do this right now. I'm literally praying to God, any God, whichever God you believe in. Yeah, I'm Jewish. Jack's not. Jack's Christian. Please let Max Scherzer suck. Please, God, please let Max Scherzer suck as a Met. Let it be the biggest waste of money in the history of this sport. Please let Max Scherzer fall off a cliff. Amen. Thank you. Shalom.
Amen. Yes, he will. Starling Marte has no shot to be a good return on investment. Mark Kanye can't hit anyway. So listen, if there's
one Kanye, I always thought it was Kanha.
I thought it was Kanye.
You would know better than I would. You're the expert.
Kanye.
I will never question your pronunciation game again. I've already been down this road to me. It's Kanye, huh?
Kanye.
Kanye, but Kanye?
Yeah, that's how I've always said it.
Yeah, I always thought it was Kanha. How about that?
Well,
it's good knowledge out of you.
He plays for the A's, so I don't, frankly, haven't really watched him. But
I watched a lot of these last year. They were fun, man.
Yeah, I had him in fantasy. He scored a ton of runs for me, so that was good. But Max Scherzer is a Met. It is frustrating that Cohen is alive and he's, you know, starting to really flex his financial muscle, and stupid Steven Matz's agent had to piss him off, so we had to deal with this crap. Like, come on. It's Steven Matz. Like, what are you so upset about Steven Matz not signing with you for? Like, he's a fine little pitcher, but come on. It's like a fourth, fifth starter. Really? That's what's causing him to go sign Scherzer and Marte and Kanye and like all that. Like, really? It's just disheartening. So thanks to Steven Matz's agent, you've effectively ruined everyone's lives here. from a baseball sense. And listen, I saw the Mets sign Delgado, Beltran, Pedro, Johan. It's like, oh, Mets are back. They're still the Mets.
So true, buddy. I mean, I'll remember when they had the future three greatest pitchers of all time.
Yeah. Oh, Syndergaard, Harvey.
No, I see, Jack, you're showing your I'm going old school. I'm going Jason Isringhausen, Bill Pulsifer, and Billy Wilson.
Who?
How about that? Or Phil Wilson. Was it Phil? Paul Wilson. That's what it is.
Literally only heard of Jason Isringhausen, and that's as a closer.
That's the point. Those are the big three. They had a name for him. Hold on. Let me Google this. It's worth it. Bill Pulsifer. This is good podcast, by the way, when people like look stuff up while they're talking.
Yeah,
always thought that.
Do you want me to help you out or should I just let you keep doing this?
I mean, you could, Phil, if you're some sort of pro or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I kind of like sitting here and seeing if you're going to fail.
I found it. Okay. I found it. So I didn't fail. Jack, those men, just mentioned Bill Pulsifer, Paul Wilson, Jason Isringhausen, were known as Generation K. How about that?
Wow.
That was their nickname. They were supposed to be like the three greatest young pitching prospects you've ever seen in your life. They're going to take over the world for the Mets. As you pointed out, Jason Isringhausen is a closer for another team.
Yes. That's only legitimately the only one I had heard of is Jason Isringhausen. So if we're going to go modern times, I mean,
yours is a better example with
Syndergaard.
Harvey.
Wheeler. DeGrom, who's like this scrub who might be like this maybe good fourth starter. Oh, that guy. And Steven Matz. We're going to have the best rotation in baseball. And it did not happen. So listen, the Mets can win the offseason all they want, but until they put it together, I don't care. You know, I don't care. Prove to me you know how to win.
It's a good take. All right, take bags, speed of takes. I honestly don't know what we just talked about for 45 minutes. I don't know how we're this deep into the podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like we barely
It is. It's what we do.
I feel like that's a pretty consistent feeling for me. I'll like look at it and be like, 50 minutes? I would have guessed 10 if you would ask me without me looking.
Right. Well, that's the podcast. So there's two things I want to clear up, and there's two things that have –
I like a good clear up.
Well, it's just annoying, dude. Having the Twitter platform that I do is fine. But
being a Twitter star is what you're saying. When you're a Twitter star is what you're saying.
Boy, do my mentions get filled with it's like what are you even talking? It pains me not to respond, but I don't have time to sit there and get in Twitter fights. I can't do it.
I can't believe you respond to anyone ever, Jack. That's the key. Don't ever respond. Don't ever look at them. That's the real key, my friend.
No, I look at them because they're funny sometimes.
Yeah, and to all the High Ups listeners who I've never responded to, and if I have, it is a rare treat when I actually do respond to something if I'm randomly like looking at anybody. But just know I very rarely look at my mentions, if ever. And when I do, maybe I'll respond to one if I see something in the moment. But I just don't do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't do it really much either because I just don't have time. So there's two things that are starting to drive me crazy. Okay, so one is Kiermaier. Like, holy crap, do people act like it's so easy to find a center fielder off a tree that can pick it right off, you know, like an apple. Like a center fielder that is both elite defensively and also can hit. Like, they just don't happen. And then the Phillies aren't in position. Like, there's maybe, five in all of baseball? Like, maybe not even five.
I don't think there's five. Of, like, elite? You're talking elite defensive center fielder?
Elite defensive center fielder and a guy that can hit. Like, there's just – it just doesn't happen. Like, there's three. There's Buxton, Trout, Cedric Mullins. That's about it.
Yeah, and also Cedric Mullins never hit before this past season. It was his breakout year.
Right.
I mean, he was fine. He's one of the rare, like, going from switcher being a left-handed guy and now as a stud. That's so rare. You rarely see that.
They tried that with Roman Quinn.
Yeah.
Didn't work as well.
He only tried so much with Roman.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Like, I mean, Brian Reynolds is a really good defensive player and can hit.
I mean, Mookie, but many. Mookie plays right field more than center field.
Mookie could do it for sure. I feel like we're definitely missing one guy who's there. And even then, I mean, like, again, none of those guys are like those guys are streaky hitters for the most part.
Right. But my thing is, like, I'm choosing to have Kevin Kiermaier, who is the best defensive center fielder in the sport, for $12 million. And I know he can't hit. Like, I know, like, these guys don't grow on trees. Like, the elite defensive center fielders that can also hit do not grow on trees. Like, they don't. You can't just go find one, you know? But Kiermaier is, I will take elite defense, especially if I'm signing a guy like Schwarber.
Marte's a pretty good one, too.
Marte's fine. Yeah, I agree. He's fine.
Just popped in my head, sorry.
But, you know, if you have Castellanos or Schwarber in left, like, it's fine if you go get a guy like Kevin Kiermaier to patrol center field and be that guy. So, you know, the whole idea of, oh, well, he can't hit. It's like, I know he can't hit. But you know what he can do is he can play elite defense. And if he can, God forbid, bat 250, like, with, I know his OBP sucks. I know he can't hit homers. Like, I know all that. But, like, for $12 million, just go run down everything in center field and, like, I'll live with the rest. Like, I don't get what's so hard to understand about this. Like, you can't find center fielders that are great defensively and can also hit. You got to sacrifice one for the other. But if I'm sacrificing one thing for center field, I want him to be a good defender, especially if I have a guy like Schwarber or Castellanos in left who I know can't do it. So, like, enough with the whole, oh, why would you want Kevin Kiermaier? Because he's a good player that is elite at one thing that you need defensively is a guy that can go run down everything in center field. It's as simple as that.
100% agree. I only listened to like a third of what you said. I got the gist. I agree with the gist. I was too busy trying to think of other center fielders who we could put on the list. Trent Grisham off here, but a solid defensive outfielder, but I wouldn't put him quite as elite. I have one name. I'll hold on to it for a sec. I agree with everything you said, especially look, like you said, if you're going to sign Kyle Schwarber in left field, guess what? You're going to need a center fielder who can get through the ball. Sorry. Like, I love Kyle Schwarber. Dude ain't a good left fielder. He labors out there. He's a big boy. Like, you know, and this is a team. Look, we've seen the last couple of years, particularly last year, like how much bad defense can crush your soul. And honestly, just from an aesthetic value, from being a baseball fan and, you know, watching this team 160 times a year, 158 times a year, or whatever it is with the couple games we have to miss, whatever. Like, I just want to watch a team that makes plays in the field. Like, it really, really sucks. Like, it sucks so hard. We just saw how crappy it is. I almost said another word. How crappy it is to watch a bad defense. So I'm with you on that. We missed one. There's an obvious one, and I don't think he's elite defensively yet, but I think he has the tools to be elite defensively. Luis Robert, not available.
No, definitely not available. And also, I don't know if the defense is going to get there.
He's so athletic. He's not there yet, but I feel like he's so athletic he can get there.
Yeah, we're also leaving off another big one. Now
because I spent so much time trying to.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I understand why you forgot this guy because he's not. You know, I don't know if he's there yet, but Johan Rojas. he will be there in a couple years.
Okay.
And the second the second thing that is driving me crazy is like, oh, well, Schwarber's a career 237 hitter. Like, why do you want him in left field? Like, it's again, we need an impact bat in left field with high OBP and hits bombs. Like, that's what they went this offseason looking for. Like, Kyle Schwarber had two bad years that sunk his overall career average. Other than that, he's been like an 850 to 950 OPS guy. Like, I understand he had he batted 188 in 2020. I understand he got non-tendered. But, like, Kevin Long is the guy that has been placed with turning around Kyle Schwarber's career. Like, that's why I want Kyle Schwarber. I want him to come here, and I want him to hit 35 homers a year, and I want him to I've already recreated the Matt Stairs home run in my head. Like, he's going to hit a Matt Stairs kind of home run for the eventual playoff Philadelphia Phillies. Like, it's going to happen. And, like, he doesn't cost a draft pick. And I want to keep a second-round draft pick. So that's why I like him more than Castellanos. And, like, sue me for wanting another impact bat that's not going to cost me like over $100 million or a draft pick and is a legit impact bat that gets on base and can bat leadoff. Like, oh my God, the Schwarber. Oh, he's bad defensively. I know he's bad defensively. Like, I watched Rhys Hoskins play left field for an entire season.
Yeah, nothing is good.
Like, you can't tell me anything is bad defensively, like, that I wouldn't take over. Like, Rhys Hoskins having to play left field again. Like, Schwarber can physically play left field. Like, it's not the end of the world. Oh, my God. Like,
well, it's also crazy because he's literally only had one bad year in the majors, and it was, like, the flukiest, weirdest year of our lives. Like, I don't know about you, Jack, but, like, I look at 2020 as, like, a complete, like, I don't hold anything against anyone. I don't use 2020 as a way to prop someone up. I don't use 2020 as a way to put someone down. Like, I look at 2020 as the all-time sham of baseball season, all-time, you know, so many other things going on, all this other stuff. Like, I don't blame anyone for anything that happened from on the baseball field in 2020. Like, I just throw it out the window. And it's literally his only bad year. Like, he's never been bad otherwise. Like, I don't understand it. Like, he had one bad year. It was 2020. That's it.
Yeah, I also consider
it's the only time. Like, he hasn't been elite or whatever, but I mean, it's still like an 823 OPS, 850, 871 OPS. Like, he's still like a damn good hitter. Like, I don't get it. I'm with you. I don't get it.
I don't get it. I will add to that. I do think the 2021 World Series also did not count. So, yeah, you can add that to the 2020 season being a sham.
Ooh,
yeah.
Do I love that take? Quick question. Can 2019 not count too?
2019 counts.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, 2019 counts. 2021, believe it or not, never happened.
I was hoping to get a 3-year reprieve.
Nope. Very sorry.
We could get what everyone wants is the Astros as the reigning World Series.
Yes. Right? Yes. Everyone loves that Astros team. The next thing I have is another thing I need to clear up. Sorry, I have a lot of gripes with people. If they sign Trevor Story and they move Bryson Stott to second base, it does not automatically mean that Bryson Stott is Scott Kingery. Like, Scott Kingery got screwed up because Scott Kingery isn't that good.
Who's saying this? What is this coming? Wait, you,
dude, I've seen it all. Weird. Dude, I've seen it all over the place. Like, don't move Stott around like you move Kingery around. Like, Bryson Stott has played second base, shortstop, and
Bryson
third base.
Bryson Stott is not an elite shortstop or anything either, guys. Like, let's not Bryson Stott is not someone you drafted to play shortstop for his entire career. If I had to guess,
I
think there's a decent chance they thought he could end up at second or third. Like, if they drafted him for his bat as a middle infielder, theoretically.
You're not screwing with, like, they were asking Scott Kingery to play center field and shortstop, two positions.
And also, enough with this. Like, the whole narrative is bleeped up, all right? Like, Scott Kingery sucked because Scott Kingery sucked. That's what it is. The guy had one good season in his life, in his career, his professional career. He had one good season in the minors. That was it. One. Like, enough with the Phillies ruined Scott Kingery. Everyone overrated Scott Kingery. Like, did moving him around some maybe hinder him the tiniest bit? Like, maybe. But you're not out of the major leagues and a lost player, like, who got $24 million historic contract because they moved you around the diamond or because they told you to use launch angle. Like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Scott Kingery didn't work because Scott Kingery's a bad baseball player. Sorry.
So you would not be upset if they lost him in the Rule 5 draft?
I would beg teams to take him in the real Rule 5. You get the contract on your books. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Goodbye. I would give him away for free. The Kerry Leitenberg package. Give me a bag of baseballs back and we're good.
You're throwing out like a bunch of old references that I have no idea what you're talking about. So
you don't remember? Kerry Leitenberg actually got traded for a bag of baseballs. It's one of the all-time great trades.
Well, is that where the saying came from?
I think it happened after the saying. I mean, it was somewhere. You remember Kerry Leitenberg? He closed, I think, for the Braves for a year or two. Kerry Leitenberg once got traded for some like baseballs and like other equipment. It's a real thing. Look it up.
That sounds like Jackie Moon trading a washing machine.
It does.
Chad Kuhl finally got released by the Pirates. Like I always said, bring him home. I know that's a very small take bag, but
you do always say. As I
open this podcast with every time, Chad Gould's the guy. And my final thing is that it seems like expanded playoffs are here. And yet again, I hate expanded playoffs so much. I would rather the Phillies not make the playoffs than make the playoffs as an 84 win baseball team. Like, I have no interest.
I mean, 84 is fine. I think the real worry is we're talking about like 81 and stuff.
Right.
I mean, 84 teams have won the World Series with 84 wins.
I just hate that everything comes down to money for the playoffs, and I hate the regular season getting watered down, and I hate teams that don't deserve it making the playoffs and then winning the World Series like the Braves. And it just drives me crazy.
They won their division.
I know. It was a joke. It was a bit. Would you go along with it? Would you just let it slide? Just
I
let
can't
it
believe
go.
This pod is as long. How are we still talking? What
I don't
are
know.
We talking about?
I don't know. It's Corey Knebel.
Corey Knebel emergency.
Well, frankly, it's the last podcast we're gonna do until April.
Seriously, get ready for some pods about labor talk,
nope.
AKA me talking and Jack not here.
Nope. That's you're doing back to Phillies today. You're doing solo pods yet again.
Talk
yep.
labor.
Talking to yourself. But expanded playoffs are brutal.
Especially going to 14. Like, do we really need to jump all the way to 14? Like, if you're gonna do it, couldn't we try 12?
How about this?
I don't know.
How about this? I'd rather have the DH in the NL than expanded playoffs.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. That is an impactful statement, buddy.
Thank you. That's all I do around here is give impactful statements. Like Chad Cool.
Obviously. All right, you got anything else? Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I guess since this is our last podcast until April, it is Spotify Unwrapped season, and everyone that tweets us a photo of their favorite podcast. No, it's fine. I guess it's fine if we're in the top five and not number one. I like it more when we're number one, but it's fine. I would just like to say.
The derision with which you just, it's just fine. Yeah,
yeah. I would just like to say. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I hope you have a happy holidays coming up. We love you very much. Throwing out the L word, love, especially during the holidays. And we'll talk to you in April.
What Jack said, everything he said is so true. Literal love. Like, we love you. We wouldn't be doing this without you. We need you. Honestly, we feel like two crazy idiots. Just the caring about the Phillies the way we do if it weren't for this community of people who make us feel like, you know, less idiots, which is good. So, I mean, we'll probably talk again, right?
I don't know. This is on baseball now.
Fingers crossed.
I can't wait to wake up, tomorrow morning and remember that baseball's not being played.
Oh, man. Oh, can't wait to follow who the Phillies are going to sign. Oh, wait, I can't because they can't sign any.
Yeah.
It's great.
What a time. Also, Stroman's a Cub, by the way.
We got Corey Knebel.
Yep.
He's read some puzzle over there.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.